Would you please stand as we read our sermon text for this morning, which is found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 8, 1 through 13. This is the word of the Lord. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth, and we pray now that you would have your word confront our heart. Any pride or unbelief that we're holding on to, any denial that we are unclean before you as sinners, and that you would speak your word, your powerful word of gospel, that can cleanse us and heal us and give us the forgiveness that we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I've been in the hospital a few different times recently, visiting people or nursing homes, and maybe you've noticed this too. I don't know how you could really miss it. But everywhere you go, what is it that you see in a hospital? Outside every door, and every hallway, and every double doors you pass through, hand sanitizer pumps, right? And they're always wanting us to cleanse our hands. And you, even if you go to Walmart or some place like that, you're going to see now that they've got sanitizer wipes for you to wipe your cart a handle with, right? And we've had in recent years a real sense of the germs that are around and that we need to cleanse ourselves or try to kill these germs to avoid contamination. And in our text, we're going to see that we're dealing with a couple issues of uncleanliness where people in different ways are considered unclean. The title of this message is "The Power of the Words of Christ," and we're going to see that Christ has authority, and that is the main point. But there is something that ties these two different stories together besides that main point, and that is that the people that Jesus is working with are considered unclean. First, a leper who is ritually and physically considered unclean. And this Gentile centurion, Roman centurion, and his Gentile servant, who are also considered unclean, and they need Jesus to help them. And we don't maybe understand what it meant to be unclean the way that the Jews did, But first, I think it's helpful to recognize what leprosy is. And many of you may have heard about this in a Bible study or in a sermon sometime, but we don't really struggle with leprosy much in America anymore. We've figured out ways to deal with it, but if you're not aware, this is still something that is a problem around the world. I have a friend who's a doctor down in Bolivia, and he goes out to a leper colony and is still helping people struggling with this. But this is a terrible disease that affects your body, and it stops you from being able to feel things. And that might sound fine if you're thinking about how much pain is making you miserable, but actually, this is a huge problem because people will stub their toes and they won't know that they hurt it, or they will get a wound and they won't treat it and it will get infected. And people who have leprosy have these festering wounds, and it stinks. It's like rotting flesh, and they would and will often lose fingers and toes or limbs, and essentially their body is just rotting and falling apart and breaking down. And it's disgusting. They would have spots, and they would look terrible, and people were afraid of them. You can imagine what it would be like to come across a leper. You would probably take a bath in hand sanitizer, trying to clean yourself, or some other method. The people in Jesus' day would avoid them. They even made up a bunch of rules of how to avoid them. They had to walk on the other side of the street and stay a certain distance away. They made them live outside of town in a leper colony. They were cut off and rejected. And could you imagine getting leprosy? That not only is this something where you're going to watch your body just fall apart, but you're going to be cut off from your friends and your loved ones and from all society. And we have the phrase, they're going to treat you like a leper, right? They're not going to come near you. They're going to try to stay as far away from you as they could. And so there was this physical uncleanness, and people were worried about catching leprosy. But also, this leprosy was something that God called ritually unclean, and that they needed to go through a process in the temple of cleansing. And first of all, they would give sacrifices and in a picture of physical healing, and then a spotless lamb would need to shed its blood, too, if they could afford it, would need to shed its blood for them, and they would then go through a process of spiritual healing and cleansing. Because leprosy in the Bible is used as a picture of sin that corrupts, and it deadens our nerves, and we become callous or unfeeling towards the law of God. We don't feel bad about our sins anymore. But also it corrupts us, and it ends up killing us. And leprosy was a picture then of sin and needed to be forgiven and cleansed. But I think with this ritual uncleanness and leprosy, this is all kind of far away from us, and we don't really maybe understand or relate with that very strongly. But I wanted to read a story here from this book, Just Words, by Jacob Preuss, and he tells this story called I Feel So Dirty. How could God love me? Claudia asked. I feel so dirty. Ever since the rape, Claudia had an overwhelming sense of shame and unworthiness. She felt unclean. In her mind, Claudia knew better. The rape wasn't her fault. She had tried to be aware of her surroundings, careful to not go in the wrong places at the wrong times, but it had happened when she least expected it, at the mall in broad daylight. It made her sick to think about it. Even now, months later, the shameful feelings would come over her at the strangest times, in a restaurant, at night in bed, but especially at the mall. She knew her attacker had been caught and was awaiting trial. She knew it was his fault. So why did she feel so filthy? Claudia remembered trying to wash the stain of the attack away, the long showers many times a day, but she could not get clean. She felt that others looked at her as unclean too and avoided her. They said it was just that they were uncomfortable with her pain and never knew what to say or do around her. Claudia knew, however, that she was tainted and that they wanted to keep her at a distance. Her friends drifted away, her husband felt abandoned, and their relationship was slipping away. She was having trouble with life, even with God. Her counselor, Janet, was helping Claudia deal with her feelings of shame and disgrace and come to grips with the evil that had happened to her. But Janet also cared deeply about Claudia's relationship with God. She shared a Bible passage with Claudia that seemed to speak to her in clear, comforting tones. Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. That comes from Ephesians 5. Could it be that on account of the washing of my baptism, I am without stain or wrinkle, holy and blameless before God? Claudia thought. Could it be that God loved me after all? If God could overlook her feelings of uncleanness and shame, maybe Claudia could do so as well. And maybe you can relate in some way more with feeling dirty in that way or some other way, and recognize that you need cleansing and to be brought near and loved. This leper recognized his need for sure, and he somehow recognized Jesus as the solution to his problem. And we don't know. You know, the Jews were avoiding him. All the people really were avoiding him. But this leper, with great boldness, went to Jesus. He was breaking all the rules in coming up to him and getting in Jesus' space. And he was even bolder yet when he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And what bold faith this man had, and an example for us to bravely go to the person who can help us, to Jesus. But look at what he says here. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." He's so confident that Jesus is the answer, he says that Jesus can make him clean. But notice he says, "If you will, if you will." He's praying essentially to Jesus, "Thy will be done," as we pray in the Lord's Prayer. But think about what this really means when he says this, "If you will." He knew that Jesus could make him clean, but he didn't demand it of him. And this is how we should pray, in faith that God can answer our prayers, but also praying, "Thy will be done." This leper was essentially saying to Jesus, "I'm willing to stay a leper if that's what you think is best." Imagine that. "I'm willing to stay in this because I recognize it's not about my will, it's about your will, and you are the one who could do this, but I'm leaving it to you in your will." This leper recognized that his will wasn't what really mattered in this situation. He could try to will as much as he wanted that his leprosy would go away, but it couldn't. Not at all. Just like us, in Scripture it tells us that no matter how much we would will to be cleansed of our sin, we cannot. And it even says that we would not. We do not even will it for ourselves. We don't even have that good of an attitude about our sin to even want it in that way without God's help. But it's really about the will of God. And this leper recognized it. Do you realize that you are sick and need healing and cleansing as well? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus came as the great physician to heal the sick. He didn't come for you because you were healthy. He came for you because you were sick, and he was the one who could do something about it. And so this leper had submitted himself to the will of Jesus. And what would Jesus do at this point? Would he will it for this man? Christ said to him, as he reached out and touched him, think of this, this disgusting man with his gross disease that everybody was afraid of and was repulsive, Jesus reached out and touched him. And he says, I will be clean. And immediately this man was cleansed. The power of the words of Christ for this leper. He immediately was cleaned. Thinking about the will of Jesus and the will of this leper, we already talked about that Jesus told us to pray, thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer. But think of other times that it talks about the will of God, the will of Christ in Scripture. Remember when it talks about Jesus praying in the garden, sweating blood as he's thinking about going to the cross, and he's recognizing that this is going to be a horrible experience that no one in their right mind would want to go through, that no one would will themselves to go into this unless there was some greater purpose. Jesus said this, Father, if you are willing, notice this is the same prayer as the leper. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. And that was the bitter cup of his death and being rejected by his Father. If you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus was also submitting himself to the will of the Father. Interesting to think of what happened next then. And Scripture actually uses this same language elsewhere in Isaiah 53, talking about Jesus, the suffering servant. And what is, so Jesus submitted himself to his Father's will. What is his Father's will? Isaiah 53:10. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And this, so the will of the Lord was to crush him and yet somehow to prosper him. The will of the Lord to crush him. Ironic, isn't it, that this leper who deserved nothing and could will nothing on his own got the healing and cleansing that he needed? And Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the Son of God, the Father said, no, I do not will for this cup to pass from you, but instead to crush you. But there was a greater purpose in all of this. James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And listen here closely. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You know, the will of the Father for us is to bring us forth as first fruits of his creatures. And how does he do it? By the word of his truth. Notice in this story about the leper and the centurion servant, this healing and cleansing happens by the word of truth that comes out of Jesus' mouth, by his authority. And in James, of the will of God, he brought us forth by the word of truth. So when you hear in church or wherever God's word proclaimed to you, the good news of Jesus Christ, that word of truth, that brings you forth. And that's the will of the Father, that you would be brought forth and made a kind of first fruits. That's a sign of great blessing and God working in your life. And listen to this. But to all who did receive him, John chapter 1, but all to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The salvation that God offers comes from his will. And let me tell you, all over Scripture, it says that he is willing. He wants to save you, to bring you forth, to make you children of God, to give you a new birth. And this doesn't come from your flesh, from your blood, from your will, but from the will of the loving Father who sent his Son, from the blood and flesh of his Son Jesus, that makes you children of God, that cleanses you. And so we've got the healing of the leper, this unclean leper, and now the second story, the healing of the unclean Gentile, the centurion's servant, both of which were unclean, according to them. You know, God's plan had been for the Jewish people, his chosen people, to stay separate from the Gentiles around them. And this was really so that they would stay clean, so they wouldn't mingle with the idols and the false gods, false practices, idolatry and adultery and sins that were being so freely practiced around them. But this may have kind of dwindled through the years through people misunderstanding and adding their own rules and thoughts to this into being some sort of kind of racism or bias against the people around them. And the Jews had developed some strange thoughts adding to what God had said about this. But the Gentiles were ritually unclean, and on top of it, the Jews looked down upon them as people. And we can imagine, you know, this idea of somebody being unclean when we think about the struggles we've had in America. And we still struggle with it today, but think years ago how we wouldn't even let black people sit with white people on the bus or go to school together. We needed to be separated. And in this way, too, the Gentiles were considered unclean. They were not to mingle together. And so when the centurion came to Jesus, he was an unclean man asking a clean man for help. And God has always been for helping the unclean, but the Jews sure didn't think at that time, most of them, that he should have helped this man. And certainly he shouldn't have gone to this man's house to help his unclean Gentile servant. But the centurion, again, a man that we don't know how he came to this faith that he had in Jesus, but he did. And he knew that Jesus could heal his servant. And so he sent to him for help. And he said that he needed him and asked if he would come to heal him. And what does Jesus say again? I will come. Just like he said to the leper, I will. He says, I will come and heal him. Jesus is so willing and compassionate, as we've seen of God's heart for us earlier. But he was willing to come, and he immediately sets out on his way. But the centurion, knowing now that Jesus is actually coming, gets word to him that you don't even need to come. And notice how great this centurion's faith is. I don't know how he came to believe with such confidence in Jesus, but it's right. It's right for us to trust Jesus this much. He recognized that in his life, he had authority to command men around as a Roman centurion. He could tell them what to do, and they would do it. It would happen by the authority of his word. And how much more, then, could Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the healer, the great physician, heal just by the authority of his word? He didn't need to come right up to the person and touch them and put his hands on them, but by the authority of his word, even from a distance. What great faith. And Jesus was willing to help him. And Jesus was astonished at this man's faith and said that he would answer this prayer. He said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. The authority of the words of Christ brought great healing to this man. Are you trusting in your own worthiness? You know, we heard earlier that we shouldn't trust in our own will, that we should submit ourselves, not to think that we are worthy of Jesus coming, that we deserve him coming. But like this man, to recognize that I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, God. I'm not worthy for you to come and heal me. And instead of relying on your own worthiness, to look to Jesus and his compassion and love, his gracious will. Because it's not in your worthiness that you will get help. It is in the love of God and his compassion for you and in his authority to do the right thing that you need to help you in the very way that you need. And what do we need? But to be cleansed of our sin. We struggle like this servant and the leper with the fact that all of us are going to die physically. But Scripture tells us that we are all dead spiritually, even from the point of conception. And we need a resurrection. And this comes by not our will or our worthiness, but by the love of God and the authority of his word. And so as you hear these words today about these healings so long ago, remember that God has the power to heal you, body and soul, by his word, and he wants to. He wills it for you. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your will to love us, your willingness to go to the cross and obey the Father's will, that you would be crushed and that we would be healed. How ironic that the one who is undeserving and unworthy gets the healing, and the worthy one gets crushed by you. We get yes, and you got no, Jesus. And yet it was all for good, that you would be glorified as our Savior and that we would be healed and made children of God by faith in the powerful word of Christ. And so today as we hear this, we pray that we would believe your word, Lord, and be healed. In Jesus' name, amen.